The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
There was one time when the Buddha visited a community of monks who were having a major dispute. They had divided themselves into opposing factions, and neither could be convinced that any fault was on their side. The other guys are wrong, we're right. That was the stance. And according to the story, it says that they were stabbing each other with verbal daggers. So it was pretty serious. Monks can't use real daggers, so that's as close as you can get as a monk. So the Buddha saw this situation and suggested to them six guiding principles that would help to ease disputes like this. And they can be used after a disagreement is already underway. And they can also be used preventatively so that future disagreements don't flare up and get out of hand. And today we're just going to talk about the first three of them, of these six principles, which have to do with the quality of metta. And I'm deliberately starting with that, with the Pali word, with metta, and not one of the common translations of it, because this quality is actually quite multidimensional, and it's not captured very well in a single English word. So the instruction that the Buddha gave to these quarreling monks was to engage in bodily acts of metta, both publicly and privately. That was one principle. And then the second was verbal acts of metta, publicly and privately, and mental acts of metta, publicly and privately. So I was reading this recently, and I thought, wow, it's really complete. So I decided to call this way of practicing metta full circle metta. Mm-hmm. So all three realms of conduct, bodily, verbal, and mental, and both inwardly and in our outer expression. So full circle metta. I hope you'll indulge me on creating that word. So what can we say about this quality of metta? What are some of the words that capture its multidimensionality? I like goodwill pretty well. Benevolence is another one. It's a less common word, but also pretty much means the same thing. Friendliness is nice. Of course, you'll often hear things like loving kindness, but I think that's a little bit overburdened, that word. It can bring in other ideas. But if you like loving kindness or love, that's fine also. And then, so those are maybe attempts at translating it, but how does it express? It can express in a lot of different ways, as generosity, as appreciation, as gratitude, kindness, considerateness, protection, forgiveness. It has all those dimensions to it. I think it's fairly clear what each of these are, but just to familiarize ourselves in the bodily realm, opening a door for someone else or carrying something that they're having a little trouble carrying. It can even be taking care to be quiet in the house, something that other people might not even know that you're doing, really. Or treating their belongings with care if you've borrowed something from someone. In the verbal realm, it's active speaking words of kindness or care, appreciation, gratitude. And in the mental realm, thinking positively of someone, giving them the benefit of the doubt, wishing them well, assuming that they're coming from a place of sincerity. That's a nice mental form of metta. And so, again, this emphasizes that in all these realms, we would do these things whether anyone knew we were doing them or not. That's what the publicly or privately means. So, maybe you come to the shoe rack outside the meditation hall, and you're a little bit later than everyone else, so most people are inside, and all the shoes are a little bit, skewed because people had come in quickly. And as you reach to find a place for your shoes, maybe you arrange a few of them nicely on the rack. No one will ever know that was you. But it's kind of sweet, isn't it? So little things like that can really flavor our day. So I like to think of this public and private thing as allowing ourselves to matter just as much as a witness as somebody else matters. Like sometimes we think, oh, no one will know that I'm, sneaking a little bit of something out of the refrigerator or something like that. But you would know, right? It's not that no one's going to know. You know. So, if we wouldn't speak ill of our mother in our best friend's presence because we didn't want our best friend to hear that, why would we speak ill of our mother in our own mind? We would hear it. Isn't it the same? Don't you count to the same degree that your best friend does as a witness? So it's interesting then to notice cases where we act differently in public and in private. So, for example, there might be cases where inwardly we are critical of someone and we think to ourselves, what an idiot, or arg, she's so irritating. But we wouldn't necessarily say that publicly, right? But we can think it. I have a friend who's a school teacher, and she says that sometimes, if she's not having a lot of metta in her heart at that moment, when she reads her students' essays, she has critical thoughts about them. How can they think that's correct English grammar? Or, this was obviously written very late at night and not with a lot of care. Something like that. But then she noticed also that when she actually meets with a given student, she tends to have, she sort of naturally feels some warmth toward them. She likes being a teacher. She likes her students. And so when she sees them, then she feels warm. And if she has to speak about their work, she finds some way to offer constructive criticism. So somehow being in their presence reminds her of their humanity, their vulnerability, whereas maybe just thinking about them doesn't evoke that same concern. So in this case, there's sort of a lack of mental metta in private, but in their presence it comes forth, and she can offer considerate words that would be metta. Or it might be the reverse, right? Maybe we feel inwardly some appreciation of someone, we like them in some way, but we hesitate to express that or to act on it. Have you ever felt that way? I've seen in myself on occasion some kind of doubt coming in. I feel some warmth towards someone, but then something comes in and says, oh, is it going to be too much? Are they going to misinterpret? Is it the wrong moment? Something comes in where there was private metta, but there was some block to acting on it. And this can also happen when we're in a dispute with someone, right? It might be somebody that we love, or it might be our best friend who we like a lot, and we care about them, but in the moment we forget that, and we certainly don't express it when we're arguing with them, right? So that can happen too. So I think the Buddha was quite astute in highlighting that we need to watch our relationships to see if metta is really full circle metta or full circle benevolence. Is it expressed in our body, in our speech, in our mind, and is it expressed both privately and publicly as appropriate for each one. Or, you know, if we have this, then this full circle view, it's easier to see if there are certain areas where we're maybe indulging our ill will. Oh, it's okay if I think those thoughts, because no one will know, right? Or maybe it's cathartic. I can think those thoughts, or I can go, you know, yell at somebody privately. But it's still an expression of ill will. It's still an expression of ill will. So are we allowing harmful thoughts or harmful actions in certain cases? And to notice that. So metta isn't really anything exotic. It's something that emerges, that's expressed in our everyday acts of body, speech, and mind. So I would like to suggest then, in a very open way, offered for your reflection, that these everyday actions in the realm of goodwill can actually have wider repercussions. They can actually help the world. So in a world full of challenges, full of arguments, full of wars even, we can sometimes wonder if and how our everyday actions can make any difference. I think it makes a significant difference to openly and consciously act with full circle benevolence. We can offer the world a different way of being than just impulsive reactivity would suggest. So it's a radical act to embody peace in a world with war, or even just to think peacefully. It's a radical act to express goodwill in a world that's infected with hatred. And it's a radical act to stand up and care in a world that encourages cynicism or indifference. And I really mean right here in our local setting, maybe in the, you know, right here in this room, for example. I don't think we have to go somewhere else, because that energy, that action, is part of the whole. It's part of the world. We're adding something good into the world, even with a single thought of care that gets added into the world somehow. I want to read a quote from the Israeli Buddhist teacher Stephen Fulder, who has for years been leading peace vigils in the West Bank, bringing Israelis and Palestinians together. And he's done a lot of really good work. And of course, you know, he does it and then there's another wave, and then he holds up the candle again and there's another wave. But he's very inspirational. He knows a lot of people resonate with what he's doing. And so he offers these words. What can you and others who are outside of this region do to help? Kindness is the opposite of hate and violence. Connect with the compassion in your hearts and know that compassion is unlimited. It does not have one address. Radiate compassion for all sides and for ourselves, as we too are vulnerable beings, and let it direct and energize us to act skillfully in the world wherever we have an opportunity, helping to create the conditions for a peaceful and fulfilling life for all. So what we do here has somehow a bigger impact. It creates conditions for peaceful and fulfilling lives. Maybe we only see it immediately here, but it has repercussions so much wider. So full circle, body, speech, and mind, privately and publicly, eventually encompasses the full circle of our world. And I hope you'll carry that in your heart with every simple, single, hopefully easy act of metta that we can do. Thank you.